So now I'm next going to hand you back over to Patrick to discuss the financial statements for 2022, and also exchange traded securities, or as we call them, ETFs.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. If you wouldn't mind putting up the statements themselves, they are in draft format. KPMG are still doing whatever it is they need to. If you could go to section 2.2.3 on page 5. Yep, there we are. I think you've gone too far. Page 5, top page 5. Yep, stop. You've gone too far. Top of page 5, please. Thank you. Okay, so we don't expect any material changes on these financial statements, but I just wanted to put these up on the screen while we discuss exchange traded receivables, which, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm in two minds as to whether they're necessary. However, in the last, let's say in the last 6 months, most recently about during this month, and I think last month or the month before, two different intermediaries asked us, had we credit considered getting our product, the ETR product, regulated. So to be perfectly honest, I'm trying to understand why. And this is why we're putting the financial statements up ahead of them being physically signed or signed off. Ultimately, what you're seeing here on this section of the accounts, on line 3, you'll see there's 19.87 million. So that is the total reserves that credit has set aside for what we call loss and default control, or LDC reserves. And this is what an accountant would call loss absorbing cash for bad and doubtful debts. So if you split that 19.87 into two, we have 11.38 million euro set aside for trade reserves, and then a further 8.49 reserves against assets, predominantly shipping assets. If you then scroll, where are we going to go to? Section 5 on page 13. I don't know who's doing the scrolling, but whoever it is, thank you very much. The whole issue of regulation or not regulation or unregulated product, I think, is coming to the fore because over the last year, there's been quite a few unregulated providers who have failed or are about to fail. And without being past remarkable or disrespectful of those companies, it is, in my mind, a pretty simple reason why those companies are failing. First of all, they built their product 3, 5, or even 7 years ago at a zero interest rate base, didn't factor in the fact that there might be an increase in overnight finance rates. And then, hey presto, 12 months ago, we started to see a rise in the overnight rates. And there just isn't the capacity or capability of those companies to make the returns that they promised years ago because the cost of money has gone up. So there's a big discussion about that. But in short, those companies have overpromised, point number one. Point number two, the reason why, so if you're going to overpromise and you can't deliver, that's a pretty fast route to failure of whatever it is, the business that you're running. Secondly, you've got to be making profit. If your company is not recording profits, you can't continue to run your operations and make sure that you return the funds to investors that you got X number of months or years ago. So the reason I'm putting this up here is so that you can see for the last 10 years, we've been declaring profits of between 300,000 and 500,000 per annum. And the reason for that is because we've been pushing all of our inverted commas profits into reserves. excuse me, and the reason we're doing that is because at the cornerstone of the business when we were setting it up 11, 12 years ago, it was, we want to set up a business where we just don't lose investors' funds. How do we do that? So there's lots of background to that. But the primary one was, first of all, we take first loss. And second of all, we have the reserves to do it. So we've been doing that now for 10 years, which is why we have those modest profits over the last 9 years of audited accounts. This year, you'll see that we've decided we're not going to reserve anymore. We're going to show profits for 2022, which, as you see, is about $3.4 million. And the reason we're doing that is because an external third party looking at a business that, yeah, they've got great reserves, but they're not really making very much profit, gives an improper view of what our company is doing. So we took the decision last year. We're adequately reserved as at circa 20 million. We should be declaring profits. They go to equity. We pay whatever the corporation tax is on it. And those equity reserves are still reserves that add to the 20 that we have. So if you scroll down to the next page, you'll see that the if you scroll down to the next page, please. Yep, keep going. Keep going. Perfect. You'll see. Stop. Thank you. You'll see that the total equity of the company has gone from 2.2 million last year to 5.7 this year. And that's basically because we've declared those profits. So we now have 5.6 million or 5.7 million to combine with the just short of 20 million. So that's a total of 25 million worth of reserves, however you want to call them. And they are there for the single purpose, first and foremost, of taking first loss. So if you've got whatever this company is, regulated or not regulated, it's sitting in a market. It's saying, we'll take first loss. We are not regulated, obviously. We're taking first loss. We've been doing it for 10 years. And moreover, we have the financial capability to take those losses. Now, we, just like everybody else, we're not interested in having losses. So we do, I would like to think, a pretty good job of making sure that we only write good quality ETR from well-vetted originators. So that's the story that will be presented and signed, please God, by the end of next month. And on that note, KPMG, they did come in and do a light audit prior to Christmas. They came back supposedly on the 6th of March, I think it was. But in truth, they actually only really started the audit, intense audit, if you want to call it, at the beginning of this month, which is why the accounts aren't signed yet. But they're doing a pretty forensic job of it. It's unpleasant for everyone who works on the trade desk, people who work on the finance. They got to answer all these questions. We were at several hundred queries at the moment, God knows how many hours. But how many of these unregulated funds that have failed or are looking like they might fail, how many of them are being subjected to the scrutiny that we are to the extent in terms of time and depth that we have been by Deloitte for the last 8 years, and now this year KPMG, as you may know, we switched auditors. I would suggest probably not that many, if any. So I get the whole point about we should have a regulated product, but I'm bringing the point of this discussion to and actually, Andrew, if you wouldn't mind making a note of the time. We'll call this section of the recording, regulation does not mean protection. So that's the opening gambit of what I'm saying. And really, what I'm trying to understand from anyone on this call, and the reason I'm asking you to note the time is because, yes, we've got five people on this call who can comment on that, but we want everyone to comment, every intermediary to comment on it. Because we want to know what they've got to see, what they've got to say. We want those difficult questions. We need those difficult questions. And I think your investors need those difficult questions. So we as a team, the people on this call, the people who aren't on this call, who are putting our products in the market, as a team, I think we have that responsibility to our investors. So what is it specifically, if at all, that your market is looking for in a regulated product? That's the question.